Okay, this morning we are looking at another day in the life of Paul. And we're looking to Acts chapter 21, and it's hard not to talk about other things that pop up. You know, you can't read a chapter, or even less than a chapter or two or whatever, without coming up with some verse that just solidifies, is this the right word? Solidifies or nails down or just reminds us that we are doing the right thing with our scriptures by looking at rightly dividing, by going to Paul only, not looking at the Great Commission, not looking at the Gospels for application, not looking at the Gospels to think that that's going to be what our judgment seat is based on, not looking at Hebrews and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and all these things that put the guilt on a Christian for not doing the right thing. And it still amazes me, again, I'm just kind of winging my thoughts this morning, it still amazes me that there would be any Christians today who think that, you know, Christ died on the cross for them, for the Gentile as such, and will bless them if they do right, when throughout all of history, you know, God would do that, but most of the time, nobody walked good enough. They didn't. And the Jews have the law. I mean, they know exactly what it is that would give them the in with God. But they couldn't do it. Not interested in doing it. Why all of a sudden they think that they can? And that everything that's going right in their life, God is blessing. But everything that is because it's from God's blessing. But if it's not going well, then it's God's chastisement. But why God doesn't chastise everything that doesn't go well, they have their little excuses for that. And why God doesn't bless every little thing they do right, they have an excuse for that. Oh, you just got to wait. And God's timing and all this kind of stuff, how they explain this huge, contradictory, false teaching. The Jews hate the Gentiles. And we're going to see that today again. I mean, they hate them. They literally despise them. And the Jews were big on the law. And so when I look at the Gospels, I mentioned this to the superintendent, in fact, that's still Old Testament. That is still the law. Christ fulfilled the law and walked the law, and everybody that wanted him to believe that he wanted him had to follow him, see what he did, so they would recognize the fact that he is the Messiah. He is their Messiah. And Christ was going to reach out to the world through those people. So they hate him. So I look at the fact that the gospel people today, the average denominational Christian, the Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian, you know, all these guys. Though I guess I have to be careful here. Those churches, those people are so based on love and I guess the Great Commission as such that they kind of miss the humph of Bible. They don't really put any confidence or any pizzazz into their Bible. It's just like, we're here to love everybody and blah, blah, blah. It's the Bible guys. It's the King James guys, even. It's the people that try to follow their book, the book, as they say. They're the ones that really hate Paul's teachings. I mean, they really do. So when I read what we're going to read here this morning, when I read what's going on with the Jews towards the Gentiles, I can picture without a doubt that same attitude, that same belief, that same feeling towards somebody who says that they're looking at a King James only, rightly divided, Paul only kind of a person. They really don't like him. They don't like it. They hate it, in fact. They're not willing to listen, even. Haven't you? It's just like when I was asked this question yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever it was, and I really couldn't answer it without going into the truth of the question, the truth of the verse he was giving. And he took it well, and we reasoned. Remember now, Jeremiah, they hated Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was preaching how Israel was rejecting the words of God. Then you've got Nehemiah. They hated Nehemiah. He was trying to build up the strength again. He was trying to get stronger again. So we can identify with these guys. Jeremiah preaching to people about how they're rejecting God's words, and the preachers and pastors in those days, the Bible uses the word pastors, which is amazing because they didn't have pastors then, and it's not a mistake. Somebody who wants to obey the words of God get to be hated. Somebody who wants to build up their strength and have a wall around them that protects them from the world and helps them do the right thing, like Nehemiah, we will be hated. You've got Moses was telling people what God said to him to tell them. They hated Moses. Jesus. They hated Jesus. They were envious, the Bible says. So all these people, they're envious of somebody who has, the truth of God. You've got Paul. And he was hated, which we'll see here in a few minutes here. So it's quite the deal. So I enjoy reading about Paul, like I say, the day in the life of another day in the life of Paul, because I see what goes on to this guy, and we understand it. Now, we haven't had to go through all the physical pain and punishment that he has, but we've had a lot of mental anguish. We've had a lot of struggle. We have people we care about, just like Paul did, and they don't get it. They worship an unknown God, and they worship falsely anyway. It's just a mixed up thing. We know what's going on. It's all heading for the Antichrist. And the Antichrist has to be prepared to be a Christ, not a Muhammad, not a Dalai Lama or anti-Dalai Lama or whatever. He's an Antichrist. So he has to be teaching what Christ taught to be people to think that he's a Christ. So he's going to come back preaching and teaching Paul? No way. He's going to be teaching the gospel stuff to get people prepared for that stuff. And it's the wrong stuff. Then when the time really comes, I believe out of the shadow of a doubt, when it comes time for that particular stuff to be taught as truth, the preachers are going to Paul. These men of right, these pastors of righteousness, preachers of righteousness, men of righteousness, they'll start preaching Paul. And it won't work because Paul is not to be preached during the tribulation. Crazy stuff. So my point here is Acts chapter 21, let's get started here. There are some things that take place within these next two or three chapters that are really quite profound. But if you don't already have the right division down, that is Paul only, not Paul along with the Gospels, not Paul along with Hebrews. And in fact, I was in that conversation we had, he said, Paul wrote Hebrews, and I said, yeah, but who did he write it to? He kind of, I guess it was the Hebrews, huh? Yeah. See, that's reasoning, I guess. So, let's get jumping into this thing. Acts chapter 21, see if I can read these words here. And it came to pass, there's your Christmas message, right? It's your Christmas message, right? And it came to pass that after we were gotten, were gotten from them and had launched, I'm going to change my glasses here. This set isn't right. These are my old ones. I grabbed another one. See if this works. There we go, sort of. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Gooz. So they're obviously on a ship, okay, as you read in chapter 20. To Gooz, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. Now, let's just don't forget. Realize this is not just a story. This is what they did. These guys were on this boat. You know what the boats were like in those days, somewhat. This is reality here. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. It's a lot of walking. Now, when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left side and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul, through the Spirit, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Now, this is interesting. This is really thought-provoking stuff. Who said, these guys, these people, these disciples, said to Paul, through the Spirit, capital S, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. So did this Spirit tell these guys to tell him that? Or did they say to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem? I've heard it for years that this is where Paul sinned. This is where Paul messed up, because he wasn't supposed to go to Jerusalem. And I just, well, you know, Mr. Good Guy here, I mean, I know he had his problems, Romans chapter 7, he had those kind of fleshly problems, but why would he be so anti going to Jerusalem, you know, and why would God tell him not to, and why would Paul go to Jerusalem if God told him not to, and all the stuff that takes place in the next couple of chapters, were these things not supposed to take place because Paul wasn't supposed to go there? Is that the case here? I mean, did Paul really mess up here? Well, we got to just read it closely. They said to Paul, finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. So Paul knew through the Spirit that these people did not want him to go to Jerusalem. I don't see where it says here that God, through the Spirit, told Paul not to go. Is that understandable? They said to Paul, through the Spirit, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Okay, so is that clear, understandable? Do I see any yeses, or that's interesting. I mean, I never thought of it that way. Yes, yes, look at that. We are alive out there in the webcasting world, okay? And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. Okay, so see, there's still prayer that takes place with Paul's ministry, with Paul's people. And when we had taken our leave one of another, the King James Bible says things so good, not left, but as we have taken leave one from another, or one of another, how's that go? Lousy memory. Taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, and saluted the brethren, and abode with them 1 day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed, and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist. Oh, wow, Philip. He's the guy in Acts 8:37 was able to baptize that Ethiopian eunuch, and that time, that those people were believing that Christ was the Son of God. Different belief there. This guy, Philip the evangelist, he was teaching something different, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Wow. Preaching women. Well, see, there's our proof of this is okay. No, just hang on. But this is what this Philip guy had going on. Well, here's this Philip guy, look at what he was teaching, and he had these girls that prophesied, and we have people that have all sorts of people prophesying as such. And look at the message they're putting out. They're putting out Philip the evangelist's message, actually. They're not putting out Stephen's message. They're not putting out Paul's message. They're putting out Philip's. So with that comes baptism. You know, with that comes a false salvation, because it's based on Jesus being the Messiah. Is that what saves people today? No, we know better than that. Okay, anyway, here we go. And when he was, let's see here, and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his hands and feet and said, that's quite a girdle, bound his hands and feet and said, how do you bind your own hands and feet? I mean, that's just, that sounds kind of odd, but anyway. Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle. Well, that belonged to Paul. And shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Oh, not the Gentiles. Those worthless dog Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him, Paul, not to go up to Jerusalem. Okay. So, there we go. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, is Paul disobeying God's direction here through Agabus and through these people? Well, what Agabus says is true. Paul is going to have a horrible time. But they don't want him to go there to have that horrible time then. So is Paul disobeying God or is he disobeying these people? Says 14. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. Well, let's jump just a little bit in case I lose you with this kind of stuff, because I'm reading slowly because I'm not seeing the words well. 23:11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Okay, so if Paul went against God's wishes, God's words to go to Jerusalem, and in chapter 23 it says, you know, Paul, be of good cheer. You testified of me in Jerusalem. You're going to have to do it again in Rome. And God knows that Paul went through grief. Paul had horrible times. But he also has two major opportunities to present his testimony, as we call it. So, point being here, if people believe that Paul went against God's will and God's words, he didn't. He did not. He went against what the people wanted him not to do. They wanted to protect him, and that's fine. That's a good thing. But he knew he had to go to Jerusalem. Now, there are some things he went to do when he went to Jerusalem that were really strange. Why would you do this, Paul? But we'll see that in a minute as well. And when these people said, well, okay, go do what you got to go do, but I just hope that God's will be done in your life. Well, God's will was done in his life, and it wasn't peaches and cream. It was rough. But Paul said, listen, I'm ready not to be bound only, he'll go to jail, but also to die at Jerusalem. So they couldn't persuade him, and they said to him, the will of the Lord be done. Okay, so I believe that's without a shadow of a doubt, Paul is not disobeying God at all. And there's two things. One is verse 3, it was the people that said to Paul, through the Spirit, and Agabus said exactly what was going to happen. And then you read about it in the next couple of which we will do today and tonight. We will see that it happened. But that was the will of the Lord was done. Okay, verse 15. Let's keep going here. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, there we go, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. Well, that's nice. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. Now, there's grammar there for you to watch for. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James. It's not, and the day following, Paul went in with us. It's the day and the day following, Paul went with us unto James, and all the elders were present. James? Well, James's message that he's ever written wasn't what Paul was preaching. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. So here's Paul, which we know we're not in a time of miracles and signs and wonders. Here's Paul. What things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. So they got to see some of this stuff. This got to see the stuff that believed that he was really the Messiah. He was their Messiah. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe? And they are all zealous of the law. Well, of course James is going to say that. That's what he preaches, teaches. Now here's a great verse. Am I going too slow? I'm just going to read this stuff. Now listen to this. Look at this verse here. And they, who's they? Okay, let's go back to 20. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews which there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. They are all zealous of the law, and they are informed of thee. See, okay. That thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles. That's huge. That verse right there, that explains, and we're way into Acts 21. That explains why Paul did what he did and said what he said so many times, is because all the Jews which are among the Gentiles. That's who Paul's talking to here. So, that's a huge underlinable verse. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. Boy, that's a big deal. But see, he's among the Gentiles because he's going off to the Gentiles. But there are Jews there. And these Jews are zealous of the law. And when somebody's zealous of something, zealous, they get pretty upset if somebody challenges them. And they're saying, listen, this guy is telling these Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses. See, and when people look at hear what we're saying, are we to forsake Moses? Well, yeah, we're supposed to not follow what Moses teaches. Are we supposed to forsake the early part of the Bible? No. We still read it. We still learn from it. We get our hope from the Scriptures and that and these things that were written aforetime. Now, we don't forsake that stuff. We don't forsake the tribulation books. We don't forsake Revelation. Well, it's going to happen in the future, so why read about the book of Revelation? Well, one of the reasons we should read the book of Revelation, by the way, is so you don't get snookered by the Seventh-day Adventists and all their baloney. But anyway. So, what is it therefore in verse 22? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Ah, so these people want to hear Paul. Do therefore this that we say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. Here's a Jewish thing now. You know, what is it there for? Come on, Paul. The multitude must needs come. We got to get together here, for they will hear that thou art come. So you're here. I'm asking you to do this. We have four men which have a vow on them. Them take and purify thyself with them. Now, why would Paul have to do this? Paul doesn't have to do this. Here's Paul teaching about how Christ spiritually circumcises, the operation made without hands, our soul is clean and pure, etc. Well, just watch here. Them take and purify thyself with them and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing. But that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. So here this guy, these people want Paul to take these four guys who are four Jewish guys and go out there and do the Jewish thing with them so they don't think that you're some strange guy preaching against Moses. Isn't that odd? Is there sometimes you think you ought to go back to your Lutheran or Presbyterian or Methodist church or Baptist church or whatever, so you prove to these guys that, hey, I'm okay, I'm still with you, da-da-da-da, you know? Is that what we're seeing here? Now, you and I both know if we were to go back and do that, maybe some of you have, it's not going to change your opinion whatsoever. That's the same thing as saying, listen, you're going to go back and dress worldly. You're going to be immodest. You're going to talk immodestly. You're going to, because you just want them to know, hey, it's still me, guys. It's still me. Girls, come on, I'm still me. Ha, ha, ha. No, it isn't still us. Okay, but anyway, this is what he's telling these guys, what he's telling Paul to do. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing. So this guy is, these people are preserving the hatred and the separation of the Jews and the Gentiles. He says, written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only, they can do this, that they keep themselves from things offered to idols and from blood and from strangled and from fornication. Okay? Okay, now that's what it says. Now, this is where it gets really strange. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple. He went ahead with this to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. Wow. Wow, what's going on here? And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up the people and laid hands on him. Now, this laying hands on Paul in the temple is not one of those, we want to bless you to go off to the mission field type of laying on of hands. Crying out, men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. Boy, they just hated Gentiles. If they just came into the room, it polluted the place. See, and everybody gets that, and I hope this is, understand, I hope this doesn't backfire out there in the website, web world. But you know, that's how people feel about the black people. That's how the black people feel about the white people. Did people ever realize that people out there of the law really hated the Gentiles? Well, these Jewish people sure got smart over time, didn't they? They come over here to Gentile country and make a fortune and pretty much rule the country. But anyway. So, how can he do this? He further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. Parentheses. For they had seen before with him in the city, Trophimus and Ephesian, who may suppose that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul, and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith was the doors were shut. Now, this is exactly what Agabus said was going to happen to Paul, okay? And the people didn't want that to happen to him. But none of this is against God's will. Paul is not out on his own doing his own thing. Okay, they took Paul, drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. Why is he doing this? I don't understand. I'll just keep hanging here. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. Who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. This poor guy is just really having a hard time. This is the day in the life of Paul. These are some tough days. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And here's your typical response from people even still today, you know. And some cried one thing, some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. I mean, these people couldn't even agree on what was wrong with Paul. Come on, tell me what's wrong with what I say about Paul. Come on, tell me what's wrong with following Paul. Tell me what's wrong. I mean, he thinks you got to follow Paul. He thinks we can go out and kill people. He thinks that it's okay to have guns. He thinks it's okay to have, not okay to have different Bibles, you know. They all got different things to say here. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was born of the soldier. He was born of the soldiers for the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, away with him. And, you know, when you walk into a room or you want to talk, people ask you questions and you're around other people and you answer that question and people want you out of there. Hey, away with this guy or this lady. Away with him. And as Paul was to be led into the castle, now remember, castle, yeah, it says castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian, which before these days madest an uproar? And ledest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers? Whoa, what's this, you know? But Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. He wanted to say something to these people. Don't you wish you could have some time and say, you know, folks, you know, hang on a minute here. Let me tell you something here. And Paul's going to go out and he's going to start from the beginning. Don't you wish? See, when I got done with the superintendent, I had put so much stuff on that table for him to consider. But none of it was done in any order. And we all know that you have to put this thing together through an order and you realize it. And once you get the grasp that this is what it has to be, King James only, rightly divided, Paul following Paul, not mixing up the other stuff. Once you realize that, it's like Paul's books just open up. They're more than just a list of do's and don'ts. There's some doctrine in there. There's some verification of what you're believing. There's some peace. There's understanding. There's, you know. So anyway, so this Paul's going to get his chance. And when he had given him license, notice, by the way, that there's not the letter A before license. And we had given him a license. No, he didn't get a license to preach. It says, and when he had given him license, that's the okay, you know. Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue. That ought to shake him up. Saying, boy, if I got the yawns this morning, I always do. Okay, now these next two chapters, this Paul has an opportunity now to present his case, present who he is, what's going on here. Now, if we could get people to look at these two verses, these two chapters, 22 and 23, and reason with the fact that, listen, this is the risen Savior. This is who we should be learning from, is the risen Savior. This is what the risen, everybody believes that Jesus Christ died and rose, but they ignore what he teaches to us Gentiles through Paul after he rose. That's just common reasoning, common sense. They just don't like the conclusions. Once you get into this, you start to recognize all sorts of things. And then you realize, yes, Paul also wrote Timothy and Titus as he was teaching to Timothy and Titus. And that's where people fall apart. It becomes another list of laws again. No, it's not. Anyway. So chapter 22, let's leave it right there. This is the whole leading up thing. Paul was told by God not to go to Jerusalem? No, Paul was told by the people. They didn't want him to go to Jerusalem because Agabus was right. Paul was going to have a horrible time. And he's going to be delivered unto the hands of the Gentiles. Oh, what a scary thing. That's where he was supposed to be going, was unto the Gentiles. So Agabus was a little weird on that one. And we realize that there are Jews among the Gentiles here. 21, verse 21. Remember that verse. And so when Paul did things among the Gentiles, it was because the Jews that were there. And then these four guys needed to be purified, and Paul went with them. He went with them through the thing. And we will see why Paul would do such a thing. We'll see that eventually here. And because he was in the temple, he was polluting the temple, people said, and because he was, there were Gentiles with him, and they were all polluting this temple thing, they wanted to kill him. They really did not like Paul. They did not like what he taught. And so here's Paul's opportunity to present to them, Jews and Gentiles, his case. Why he is doing what he's doing, where it got started, how it got started, and we'll see if you already don't know the answer. You'll already see what they thought of his testimony. We'll do that tonight.